us and the missionaries that come. And what a first-class brochure that is, Brother Ben. I'm stealing that idea for sure. And having a list of all the missionaries that your church supports, first class, I love it. And if you think it is the weight of that responsibility is on us to and on the missionaries to go for us to reach the lost, well, we just need to pack it up and stop. And now, do we have part of the responsibility? Absolutely. Has God called them to go? Absolutely. But it's not on us. It's on the Lord who provides. And so we are coveting, we're promising and joining together with the Lord's help. And that's not something that we can leave out. You understand that. So we come to that verse where it says Jehovah Jireh. And then it says, verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. We're going to look in a moment at when he called to him the first time. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, notice this blessing, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, how did we get to this point? I don't know if you look at that blessing. I don't know if you want, we should all want this blessing. But when we break it down and we see the individuals, I don't know that I want this blessing. I think if I prayed for this blessing, my wife would be praying to play a little defense. Because did you see what it says there? In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And I know right now that my wife would say, no more babies, okay? We have enough. And the Lord has given us 5 children. I've got all of my children are boys except the first 4. I'm pausing to let that sink in there, okay? And but my first 4 are daughters. And Jacqueline, my oldest, is married and has the Lord has given them a little girl. So we have a granddaughter and a little Emmy. She's about a little over a year, and she's walking around, and she is the spitting image of her mother, so I pray for my daughter every day. And she is a little chatterbox, and my oldest daughter, this is no exaggeration, Brother Ben. When Jacqueline was little, when she was about 4 or 5, and it had to even be in first grade, we're getting ready to go to school, and I would come out of my bedroom in the morning, and Jacqueline is sitting there on the end of her bed, and she is talking. It didn't matter who was listening. She was just talking. And I would walk by her, and she was a morning person. And I just kind of think, ugh, as you do sometimes in the morning. And I would go in the restroom there and get myself cleaned up and shaved and showered, and I'd come out, and she is still on the same sentence. And she is just talking away. And there were times that I told my daughter, Jacqueline, you have used all of your words for this morning. You have to wait until we get in the car to go to school. No more words for you. And that was an extreme punishment to her because she liked to talk. And then my next daughter, 2 years younger than her, Carly, is in Bible college right now. And she's 22. Jacqueline, by the way, her daughter, just like her, is becoming a chatterbox, little Emmy. And so that's good. Then I have a daughter who graduated last year and from high school. And a daughter who is a senior this year in high school. And then I have a son who turns 10 on Thursday. And how about that? Last day of October, and we said he's our little pumpkin. And so there you go. And but I'm looking forward to reuniting with them. He called me this afternoon, and he said, Dad, I got a joke to tell you. I said, okay, tell me your joke. It wasn't funny at all, and I didn't even get it. But I don't care. I'm just glad my son wanted to call me and share his joke with me. So we had a good laugh at that, and then I talked to his mother. And but in any case, he's saying, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to make your seed as the sand and as the stars. Okay. I don't know that we want the multiplication of the children, right? In fact, when my 4th daughter was born, my wife almost went into depression. She, out of my 5 children, my 4th one was the surprise. And I came home on a Wednesday night after church, and I walked in, and my wife was sitting on the couch, and she was crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, we're going to have another baby. And I was torn, right? I'm happy, but I'm sorry, I'm happy. I was waiting for her to tell me what I was supposed to think. And she said, I'm not ready. Her older sister, well, it turns out, it would have been 16 months apart. And that's too close. So I came home the next day. After school, the next day I was teaching at school, and my mind was lost at thinking, oh no, another mouth to feed, how about this? But yet excited, and I came home and she said, I don't think I'm expecting. I said, okay. I came home the next day, she was crying again. And I said, what is it this time? I am expecting, I took a test today. I said, just make up your mind so I know. And so every once in a while somebody will talk about having a baby or something. I'll say, well, you're ready to have another one. She just gives me that look. I know. I don't want another one. She doesn't want another one. But praise the Lord for what he's given us. But that's really not the essence of this promise. God is saying, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. Yes, I'm going to give you children. But that whole idea of thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. God used Abraham to form the nation of Israel, and the founding father of that, and through Israel, and of course, through Israel, Jesus Christ came into the world, and he has blessed all nations through him. Well, so this promise, this blessing to Abraham, Abraham didn't set out to get a blessing. Abraham did one thing. He obeyed God. So if we're thinking, oh man, how are we going to reach the people of Greenland? How are we going to help Brother Clint there as his claim ministry? How are we going to help him help the missionaries? Well, you know, there's a plan, but the bottom line is this. Just do what the Lord tells you to do and let him take care of this. And so we'll see how Abraham did this. God not only provided for everything Abraham could want or need, he also gave Abraham so much more that Abraham would be able to provide what everyone else could possibly need. In fact, if you look in the book of Romans, don't turn there now because I'm not going to go to that. We're still in Genesis 22. But in the book of Romans, it says, anybody who receives Jesus Christ by faith, and that is the only way we can get saved, we are in the family of Abraham. Have you heard the children's song? Perhaps, you know, Father Abraham has many sons. It's silly. Many sons have Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And then another verse, and right arm, Father Abraham has many sons. They keep moving their right arm. And then they get to the next verse, left arm. Pretty soon they're doing the jig. And but that song actually has a scriptural basis. When we are saved, we are in the family of Abraham's blessings. And quite a study. But let's look back at this passage here and see what God did. What process did Abraham follow to get God's promise to provide for him? What was it? What was the substance of his surrender? Well, first of all, I want you to notice this. We'll look back at verse 1, and I want to tell you this. Abraham yielded exactly what God wanted him to yield. His own will. Okay, so what do we have to yield? Well, look at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. An interesting word there. It's a word that means test and try, okay? And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. By the way, you know, my dad taught us this. And when God called people in the Bible and they said, I am here I am. And dad taught us as a parenting technique that he used was excellent. When he called to us in the house, he would not continue to call to us. Steve! I'd say, yes, sir. I'd say, what? He wasn't going to answer. And I would go to him and say, yes, sir, Dad, what did you need? He taught me to do that. What he was teaching me was, when I call, I want you to respond, just like when God calls. I want you to respond. Now, you may not do that, and I don't know that you have to do that. I have continued to do that with my children, and that when I call to them, they come to where I'm at, and I try not to be a father that provokes them, you know, by pulling a chain and call them and then move, and or just call them for no reason, and my son is JR. JR, and he comes down to see me. What do you need, Dad? Nothing. I just wanted to see if you'd come. I don't do those kind of things, right? But this is what Abraham did. God called him. He said, here am I, Lord. What do you need? What a great response to the Lord. And he says in verse 2, and he said, take now thy son. Did God know? Yes, thine only son Isaac. God knew. Whom thou lovest. and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went. So God called him. Now listen, it was years. I don't know if you know the story of Abraham, perhaps you do, where God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham got ahead of God and took Hagar, his handmaid, and Sarah was in on the plan, and they had a son, Ishmael. And God has, by the way, blessed Ishmael. And he says this if you read Genesis as well. But he said, Abraham, I'm going to give a son to you and Sarah. By the way, his son's name is Isaac. Do you know what Isaac means? Yes, laughter. Because when Sarah found out she was going to have a baby, she laughed. And by the way, so would we in that situation. She was beyond childbearing years. You understand? It was impossible physically for her to have a child. So when you're going to have a child, I'm going to have a child. Yeah, that's nice. And she didn't know what God could do. And so God allowed that. But God was going to, just a miracle for Isaac to be born. Can you imagine the love that Abraham would have for his son? And the long-awaited, and he's 100 when Isaac is born. Sarah's 90. And then God says, all right, I want you to give me your son. What? I think I would say, God, I'm not sure I heard you so well. Like Moses, when God called Moses, and you know, Moses was telling God that he had a speech problem. God, I don't speak so well. And I'm going to choose you anyway, Moses. And what's one of the signs that he did? He said, hey, what's that in your hand? Well, it's a rod. Throw the rod down. Becomes a snake. And then he said, pick it back up. And I don't think Moses did this, but I imagine Moses saying, God, I don't speak so well, but I don't think I'm hearing you very well either. Okay? Pick that snake up. I ain't touching that snake. And but Abraham, give me your son, your only son Isaac, that thou lovest. See, those words reveal to us, God knows exactly what Abraham's going through. And Abraham arose, prepared, left. Now, you know what it doesn't say Abraham did? Maybe he did, but the Bible doesn't tell us that he did. He didn't tell his mother. And where are you going? I'm taking Isaac. Well, what are you going to do? God told me to sacrifice him. Oh, no, you don't. And Mama wouldn't be too happy with that, but Abraham goes on his way. And here's where it started. And this is where it starts for us. It's a matter of yielding. If we get our eyes on the big grand plan of what God is trying to do, that can overwhelm us. But let's just bring it back to this. Just surrender. Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Is he going to ask you to do something that he's not going to give you the grace to do? No, he doesn't do that. So Abraham had already decided, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. And by the way, what caused Abraham to get to that place? He had yielded before to God. God had a track record with him. So he knew that God would look out for him. Did he know how? No, I don't believe he knew how. But he yielded exactly what God wanted him to yield. It started off with surrender. The story is told, each year millions come to the Indian city of Hardwar to bathe in the river Ganges. Okay, a woman named Alila stood on the beach of the Ganges River holding her infant son close to her. Tears welled in her eyes and she began slowly to walk towards the river's edge. She stepped wading out until she was waist deep. The water was up to her baby's feet. She stood there for a long time holding the child tightly. You could tell this woman was in distress. She's waist deep, holding this child very close to her. Then suddenly, in one quick movement, she threw the six-month-old baby into the water. The baby died. A missionary named M.V. Varghese often witnesses among the crowds who gather at the Ganges River. He came up to this woman, and she's kneeling in the sand now, crying uncontrollably and just emotionally distraught at what had just happened. He knelt down to her very compassionately, and he asked her what was wrong. Through her sobs, she told him, the problems in my home are so many. My sins are so heavy on my heart that I offered the best that I have to the goddess Ganges. I offered my firstborn son. I threw my son into the river. What desperation by this woman. Brother Varji's heart ached for the woman, and as she wept, he began to tell her about the love of Jesus and that her sins could be forgiven. She looked at him strangely. She said, I have never heard that before. She had never heard the name of Jesus. Why couldn't you have come 30 minutes earlier? If you had come 30 minutes earlier, my baby wouldn't be dead. Certainly he would feel bad that he didn't get there earlier, but of course he had given his life to go. Millions have come believing this Hindu ritual wash away their sins. For many people like Alila, missionaries are arriving too late simply because there aren't enough of these faithful brothers and sisters in the mission field. Alila was willing to yield, even something that was a great sacrifice, but it wasn't what God wanted her to yield. She didn't understand that. But Abraham yielded exactly what God wanted him to yield. Then I want you to notice the next verses. And in the middle of verse 3, there towards the end of it, he went unto the place of which God had told him. We'll keep reading in a moment, but we said, first of all, Abraham yielded exactly what God wanted him to yield. But do you understand this? Abraham went exactly where God wanted him to go. He went to Mount Moriah. God said, go to Mount Moriah. If God was going to tell him, offer your son, why couldn't he have done it out in his yard? He had plenty of land. Why couldn't he have done it on some hill close by? Why did God tell him to go to Mount Moriah? Well, there was a reason, but that reason does not matter for this. Abraham went exactly where God told him to go. And I would tell you, listen, first of all, what does God want you to yield? Yield whatever God wants you to yield. Yield our will, but there may be other things that he asks you to yield to let go of. But also, go where God wants you to go, wherever that is. And for every one of us, it's different. God did not call me to Vancouver. He called Brother Ben to Vancouver. He called me to Temperance, Michigan. People that live 10 minutes away from me don't know where Temperance is, right? And it's not like some little country town and where they only have one stoplight. There's about 8,000 people there. It's just they know where Toledo is, and we've got a large population around there. But I'm in Temperance, Michigan, and I've often thought, what if the Lord called me somewhere else? But I'm exactly where the Lord wants me to be. I don't know what God's plan is for you, but I would tell you this. If you're yielded as God wants you to yield, then whatever God makes clear to you, go wherever he wants you to go. You understand we have a missionary here that's going to Greenland. When I first heard that, I thought, man, that's going to double the population. Now, that's not true, and I'm glad I've heard already some of his burden and some of his ministry. There are more people there. And you know what? They need Jesus. But he's going where God wants him to go. And where does God want you? My assumption is, if you're here, then God wants you here. But it might be that over these next few days, the Lord is talking to you. And he makes it clear where else he wants you to be. I'm not even saying necessarily as a foreign missionary. But it could be. So he went to Moriah. Mount Moriah. I want you to see this. Also, verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. The place, not a place. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Did you notice that? I and the lad are going to go worship and come again to you. Who's coming again? Same subject, I and the lad. Well, Abraham, I don't think you understand, Abraham. God told you that you are going to offer your son to him. And you're saying you're coming back. I don't think Abraham had it figured out. Now, if you're like me, I will do whatever God wants me to do, but I just want to have God, I want God to tell me what's going to happen first. I want to be able to figure it out. Oh, yes, God, I'll do whatever you want. Can you tell me how it's going to happen? By the way, if we do that, we don't get to please God because living by faith, without faith, it is impossible to please him. By the way, that verse also applies to salvation. There are so many who offer their best to God. God, I'm going to live this way. God, I go to church. God, this is my family background. God, I'm going to obey all these commandments. No. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. The only way to please God is by our faith, meaning putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone as our personal Savior. Without our faith in Jesus Christ, the best I have to offer Him, Isaiah says, my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Not my wickednesses, but my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So I have to have faith. But Abraham, he didn't know what God was going to do. He just told the young men, we're going to go and worship and then we're going to come back. How? I don't know. I leave that to God because I want to live by faith. And I don't know that there's a better example in the entire Bible of living by faith than Abraham. He says in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, this is the logical question. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now, I can understand why this would satisfy Isaac right now. But Isaac's going to have to get up there at some point in time. And I'd be saying, God, Dad, you said God was going to provide a lamb. Why am I getting on the sacrifice? And verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. What if Abraham said, all right, God, I'm going to build an altar right here. See, do you know where Mount Moriah is? Mount Moriah is the place where Jesus Christ was crucified. Well, I'm going to offer on this. No, there is a he was getting him to that specific mountain. So often we're willing, or God says, I want you to go here. All right, I'm willing to go, and we have our own destination in mind. But that's not yielding, right? We have to go where God wants us to go. That's not always easy, I know. But listen, why was it so important? Because God had a ram that he was going to provide. God's provision, listen, was at God's destination. I want to be where God wants me to be because God is going to meet my needs. His provision is at his destination. I like this, though. There are times that I haven't been in the right place, and God in his mercy still provides. I'm glad that he does. But Abraham had to go where God told him to go. He yielded what God told him to yield, his own will. He went to where God told him to go. A one-legged school teacher from Scotland came to Hudson Taylor and said, I want to serve with you in China. And Hudson Taylor looked at him and said, with only one leg, why do you want to go as a missionary? I love the answer. He said, because I don't see those with two legs going. That's good, right? And So, where does God want you to go? If it's here, then be faithfully here. If there's something else, if there's some other place that God wants you to go, go there. I want you to notice next in the rest of verse 9 here, it says, he and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, I told you that Abraham had Isaac when Abraham was 100. And by this time, I believe Abraham or Isaac is probably in his 20s, if I understand it right. Might even be a little bit older than that. But this isn't a little boy. That's the picture I have because I saw a flannel graph when I was little. Right? And the flannel graph, God did not hand deliver the flannel graph to my Sunday school teacher. And do you know what the flannel graph is? And a few of you do. Anyway, I saw pictures that the Sunday school teacher had put together. But anyway, so Isaac had to be willing to do this. By the way, that tells me an awful lot about the connection between Abraham and Isaac. Isaac's not going to get on that altar unless he trusts his dad. You think, well, I wish my son trusted me. Well, hold on. Abraham provided his son a father who lived by faith. So, well, if my son doesn't trust me that much, well, maybe it's because we have to provide a father who lives by faith. I'd want him to trust me. No doubt Isaac has seen God answer his father's prayers. But Isaac still doesn't know what's going to happen. So he gets up there. God's going to provide me a lamb. Great. Where is it? It would come in kind of handy right now, Dad. And he laid him on the altar upon the wood, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. I wonder how long he held that arm up there. I'm going to kill him. All right, God, anytime now you can intervene here. God, hello. I don't think Abraham was waiting. You know what I thought? I think Abraham thought, I'm going to kill him. What? Yeah. What about all the promises about Isaac? Oh, God will still do those. How? Well, I don't know. That's God's problem. I think he thought God was going to resurrect Isaac. He's going to raise him back to life. I can't imagine that Abraham's like, I'm going to kill him and God's going to resurrect him. This is going to be awesome. I can't wait to see it. That's still a child that he loves. You know, sometimes you can tell yourself to do something and your brain says, no, you're not either. My son-in-law, before he was my son-in-law, my daughter Jacqueline married Mitch Borst. And Mitch grew up in our church. And we went on a senior trip, high school seniors, and we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And actually, it was in Pigeon Forge, but those two cities are right next to each other. And we went bungee jumping. Are you familiar with bungee jumping, right? And you're essentially strapped in and you jump off a high tower and you bounce for a while and then come to a stop. And you're defying your brain, right? You get up there and you're like, I'm going to jump. And your brain's like, oh, no, you're not. So that's exactly what happened to Mitch. Mitch got ready. Jacqueline has already gone because my daughter Jacqueline has mental issues. And she's a psycho. But she jumped right off. So Mitch thought, now I have to jump because Jacqueline just jumped. So he's getting ready to jump, and I'm up there behind Mitch, and I'm getting ready to push him just because he was dating my daughter at the time, and I thought that would be a good thing. What did I do when he wanted to date my daughter? I invited him over, and I showed him, we cleaned my gun together, and I showed him that I could shoot a quarter off a fence post at about 50 yards away, and if he ever touched my daughter, I would shoot him. But anyway, he did it the right way, ended up marrying her. Now I have no say. But anyway, he got ready to jump. And every part of him said, I'm going to jump, except his hand. He jumped, and he didn't jump. He swung over because he could not make his hand let go. His brain was saying, give it a try, but his brain said, no, hang on to this. And he realized that, and he's like, oh, man. He goes, I was trying to let go. I couldn't let go. He eventually did it. But I imagine as Abraham's getting ready to kill his son, even though I believe he believed I'm going to kill this child and God is going to resurrect him, still, how to make yourself do this all those years of hope and promises of God going before his eyes, getting ready to take his life. But the angel of the Lord spoke up and said, Abraham, whoa. You know what he did here? I said Abraham yielded exactly what God wanted him to yield. Abraham went exactly where God wanted him to go. Abraham did exactly what God wanted him to do. What's that? He followed directions. We read it in our original text. He obeyed God. Listen, God has given us his word. And he says to us, this is what I want you to do. And he wants us to obey it. I saw, they used to have some billboards. I haven't seen them recently in the United States. I don't know if they made their way to Canada. They're just a big black billboard with a couple words in white on it. And they were all messages from God. Somebody was putting them out there. Like one that said, hey, you know that those Ten Commandments I wanted you to keep? Yeah, I was serious about that. billboards like that of, yeah, keep these things. That's how God is with us. Yeah, that the word I gave you. Yeah, I want you to obey that. It is the privilege of my life to get to serve the Lord in the Lewis Avenue Baptist Church. But I didn't surrender to serve the Lord to pastor the church where I was born. I mean, eventually I did, but you know what I did first? I yielded. I wanted to be where God wanted me to be, but then I just obeyed. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know what a journey is made up of? Steps. But I've got to take the next step. And so often I'd get to a place and I'm like, God, I'm not sure where you want me 10 years from now. And God reminds me, I'm not wanting you to be 10 years from now. Do tomorrow what I wanted you to do. Okay. A man who walks with God and follows his directions will always arrive at the destination that God intends. Praise the Lord for his mercy when we don't. But Abraham said, here am I. What does God want you to do? Are you serving the Lord in the way that God wants you to serve him? Yeah, I don't even know how God wants me to serve you. Meet with pastor. Say, can you help me get plugged in a way I can serve the Lord? You know why these missionaries are here? Because they're doing what God wanted them to do. God didn't come to them at some point in time in the past and say, all right, I want you to go to Greenland. I mean, they did that, but before it ever got to that point, God said, I want you to obey me. All right, Lord. And they got in the habit of that. They kept doing, following. You're going to hear the testimony. I've heard a little bit of it already from Brother Gage. But he just did what the Lord wanted him to do. And when we do that, God puts us in the right place. Remember what Abraham got. He didn't set out to get God's blessing. He just kept taking the next steps. And God promised him. And last, I want you to notice this. Verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Abraham gave exactly what God wanted him to give. He was willing to give his son. Boy, I'll be honest. It's been one of the desires of my life. The reason we have a son who is so much younger than his sisters is because I've prayed for a son. I never did put any pressure on any of the children, on my wife, to have any of the children. I just prayed about it. I wasn't the one who had to bear them. Not every man will feel that way. That's fine. That's what the Lord led me to do. But you know, my son was somewhat of a miraculous birth. Now, when some people say that one of their children was a miraculous birth, there must have been something incredible they had to overcome, or maybe some difficulty. I don't mean that with my son. But anytime anybody would ask me, are you and your wife going to have any more children? I would say no. But in my heart, I would say, Lord, you know I would like a son. It's not that I don't value my daughters. I can't imagine my life without my daughters. But from the time I'm a little boy, from probably 5 or 6 years old, I started thinking, this is what I'm going to tell my son one day. So I would pray. In fact, I fasted for about a 3-week period of time. I started fasting about one meal a week every week, in some cases every 2 weeks. And I just said, God, I'm not going to say anything to my wife. You know what I want, but I'm not going to say anything to her. The Lord, one day Angie said, would you like to have another child? I'm like, what? This is a while later. I said, I'd love to. You know that we had a miscarriage. That broke our hearts. I asked Angie after the miscarriage, after a little while, I said, are you still interested in having another baby? She said, I don't know. I said, okay. I went back to fasting and praying. Finally, she came to me again. She said, I'm ready to have another baby. If we didn't have another one, that was between the Lord and my wife. But I'm glad that my son was born. If God said, I want to take your son, all of that would come back to my mind. I don't know that I could do that. I would like to think that I could do that. But Abraham didn't say, God, there's other things that are precious to me. Let me give you those. No, Abraham said, I'll give you exactly what you asked for. I've talked with Pastor. I have prepared myself for our missions conferences, and I know how much he is prepared for this missions conference. I know how he has prayed. I know some of his desires. Do you know what God wants you to give? Pastor would like me to say a number. Not really, but you understand. But I'm not. No, give what God tells you to give. And he isn't going to tell you to give what he's telling somebody down the row or somebody behind you or somebody. Ask the Lord to speak to you. And say, Lord, help me to give what you want me to give. It's between you and the Lord. But Abraham gave exactly what God wanted him to give. And I don't know that God's asking us to give something more than he asked Abraham to give. Boy, there's times that the Lord speaks to us and we fight it. I don't know about you, but I don't like to give the last of something. If my wife wants a bite of my ice cream, I'm fine with that. Unless she wants the last bite. Because in my mind, I've prepared, I am getting down to that last bite, and that last bite is going to be mine, it's going to be good. And now all of a sudden, if she asks that, well, I would have given you a bite earlier, or I've done this. I've asked my wife, do you want some ice cream? No, I'll just eat some of yours. Well, I'll just buy you some ice cream then. No, I don't need any. Okay. Right? I offered to buy her own ice cream. Why does she want to eat my ice cream? I don't get it. Now, I'm also well-trained. So if she wants the last bite of ice cream, I would rather give her the last bite of ice cream than deal with a grumpy wife, right? And she's not that way anyway. But that's something I wouldn't want to give. But we give to God exactly what he wants us to give. Let me mention this, and I'll be done. The average Christian, this was a study done in America. I imagine it's similar here. The average Christian in America gives less than 20 cents a week to foreign missions. Who's going to send if we don't? Coca-Cola. 97% of the world has heard of Coca-Cola. 72% of the world has seen a can of Coca-Cola. 51% of the world has tasted a can of Coca-Cola. Coke's only been around for about 140 years or so, a little less than that, actually. Somebody said this, if God had given the task of world evangelization to Coke, it might be done by now. Christians, are you yielding like God wants you? Because if you take care of that point, the others fall into place. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you willing to go where God wants you to go? And are you willing to give what God wants you to give? Let him have his way. We can trust our lives and our future and our care, provision, to a good God. He loves us. He set the example, by the way. You understand, he gave exactly what we need. What an example we have. Why? So that people could be saved. Well, that's why we're talking about this, because we want people to be saved. Aren't you glad somebody sent somebody to you? That they gave so somebody could come to you, so you could hear the gospel. Let the Lord have whatever he wants.